and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When you worked on the maintenance crew at Camp Lutherland, Tuesdays were never a good day. So Camp Lutherland was established in 1949, correct? So they did most of their building in the early 50s. It was a pretty big physical plant, and it was linked together with a 1950s style low flow septic waste system made out of connecting clay pipes. So, by the time you get a new group in and you get to Tuesday, you find out that about a quarter of the variety of toilets and sinks in the camp are no longer functional. So, Jan Perucki and I would get into the milk truck that was designated for plumbing. We had a plumbing milk truck, and we had an electrical milk truck. And we'd take that long list and we'd make the rounds, going through and digging holes and running snakes and removing toilets and doing all kinds of really nasty things. So the one day we're driving along and we drive up past where the girls' shower was, and suddenly about a dozen girls come running out screaming with towels wrapped around them. Snake. I don't like snakes. Never have, never will. But, you know, come on. Snake. Yeah, there's probably a garter snake in the shower about this big, just kind of going around. So Jan and I, and Jan was about as brave as I, go in with a bucket to capture the reptile and to place it back out into the woods where it belongs. So we get down there, and the counselor's standing there, "Where's the snake?" And she points up into the rafters. I look up into the rafters, and mind you now, these rafters are 16-inch on center. Here in the rafter, I see middle of snake. Three rafters over, I see head of snake. Middle of snake was about like this. It was a black snake, so it was non-poisonous, but there had always been stories about them getting extremely large, but the ones I'd ever seen were this big. The ones that are this big, I don't touch. The ones that are that big, I don't touch. So the two heroes go back to the milk truck, and we find a big stick that we had in the back and a box, because the bucket simply would not do. And so Jan manned the box, I got the stick. I'm sticking the stick between the body of the snake and the rafter, and I'm pulling back and pulling back, and finally he released and comes to the floor, curls up and goes, It caused Jan and I to take a step back. So Jan put the box down with the opened end down close to the ground, and he stood back. And I took the stick, and I was toying with the snake, and we get it close to the box, and we tip the box over on top of the snake. We put a board underneath that open end of the box that's now on the ground, flip it up, we have snake in box. We go then to the nature hut, because I knew at the nature hut they had a cage they had made. Now, the cage was plexiglass on two sides, had small chicken wire on the one side, and had bigger wire on the opposite side. Now, the grid was probably about, in the wire, I would say, was probably about 3 by 4 inches. Not very big, but I thought, well, you know, snakes can really make themselves do that. So we put it in there, we shoved it against the wall, we went outside, and we got two of the biggest rocks that we could carry and laid it on top of the cage. We came back the next day. The cage was moved this far away from the wall. John and I looked at each other and we went, uh-oh. And so we began to look around the nature room and we opened the closet up and we discovered that snakes have memory. Because as soon as that snake saw us, that was an unhappy snake. Because he was back up into the rafters. As soon as we opened the door, he just started lighting at us. To which we stepped back, closed the door, and said, well, nobody's taking a shower in here. And we went back up to the maintenance shed. Now in the story enters Oscar Puffenberger. This is a real person. I'm not making this up. Oscar was a retired mechanic who would come up with his wife, Edith, from Florida every year. Edith would bake the most wonderful sticky buns on Friday and Saturday for the staff, and Oscar would rebuild all of the motors in the camp. He was about this tall. He had the largest noggin I've ever seen on a human being, and he was bald, so it made it look even bigger. And so Jan and I recounted to Oscar the story of the snake, and Oscar said, well, let's go get the snake. So Jan and I grabbed gloves, and we're ready to go down there, and we go down, and Oscar says, well, where is it? We open the closet, and there it is, and it starts snapping at us as soon as we open the door. And so we ask Oscar if he would like a pair of gloves. I don't need any gloves. He climbs up on a chair, grabs the snake in the middle, starts rocking back and forth on this chair, saying all kinds of bad words at the snake as he's pulling it back, and the snake's doing this on his arm. Jan and I are in the corner, shivering like little girls. He gets the snake down. It's wrapped all around his arm. He throws it into the cage. Yeah, I know. And we go get two more rocks and put it on top of the cage. I don't like snakes. So, God sends me to Arizona. And I'm minding my own business teaching a confirmation class. And Scott, our very talented pianist, there you are, comes walking in and says, there's a rattlesnake in the stairwell. Like I'm supposed to do something about it. And you did. And so I got one of these lasso things because we have snake stuff in the office. And I got it. And I grabbed hold of the rattlesnake, and it began to make all kinds of noises. And suddenly the world turned a different color, and my eyes began to spin, and my head began to turn, and I carried it out and let it go. You see, there's a reason in the creation story where they talk about how snakes aren't liked so much. Is that me? What am I doing? Making bad noises. There's a snake. Apparently so. So in creation story, we have that whole idea about the serpent and what takes place, and the fact that when it's all done, the snake's going to crawl around, and women are not going to like the snake because they're going to bruise their heel stepping on the snake, and the snake's going to try to bite at them. I must be part girl because I just don't like the snakes. And so we have these lessons today. We have this lesson about Moses and the Israelites, and we have these snakes all around there biting people. And I don't like it. It's a creepy story. Because everybody's getting bitten by snakes. They want the snakes to go away. They go to Moses and say, Moses, get hold of God. Get these snakes out of here. God says, okay, well, here, you're going to do this. You're going to make a little thing. It's going to be on a rod. You're going to have a serpent up there. You look at it, you'll be fine. But, you know, it doesn't preclude the problem about the fact that the people are getting bitten by snakes. They might be fine in the end, but they still get bitten. And the reality is, for me, even with the big black snake that I know is not positive, I'm positive is not poisonous, I'm not going to grab it because I don't want to get bitten even by that sort of snake, let alone a poisonous one. It's my hair? No. It's a bad haircut, you think? We're going to change microphones here. Of course, the problem is I got this all tucked in, so we'll just turn this one off. Down? Thank you. That's okay. My technical director here. Okay. So, he's going to make it sound a little bit better. There we go. So where was I? Snakes. Don't like snakes. Okay, so God has these snakes, has ancient Israel being bitten by these snakes, and then we have our gospel lesson today that talks about like the snakes in the desert. Here we have Jesus, look up to him, you're going to be healed, and it still doesn't like it because it talks about snakes. Yeah. But the reality is, what took place in that desert is life. Because there's always something biting at us. There's always something there that's causing us pain, causing us fear, causing us discomfort, causing us to be in places we don't want to be. And when you tie that in with what we have in today's gospel lesson, it is looking up and turning to Christ that we find a way to deal with those things that are biting at our heels every day. Because the reality in the first story is that Moses, when he prayed to God or did what God told him to do, the snakes didn't go away. But what went away was the possibility of the snakes entering or bringing death into the story when the people did what God asked them to do. Today's gospel lesson, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That is the core of who we are. That is probably the biggest motto of Christianity that we could ever possibly have. And that is the reality of our lives, that God has given us this gift in his Son, so no matter what's biting at our heels, what might be nipping at our rear ends, what might be causing us pain, what might be causing us distress, when we turn to that gift, when we look to that gift, when we understand Jesus is part of our lives and part of who we are, then we don't need to worry about those things. Because when we do that, when we understand this gift that God has given us in his Son, there we find life. There we find wholeness and health. Not necessarily in the way we would want it here in this place, but in the relationship we have with God. We have this restoration that takes place. Because we have the relationship established through the waters of our baptism, God's presence in our lives. And with that presence, we have Jesus as part of that, that gift of God's Son that gives us what we need to be sustained. It doesn't take the problems away, but gives us the things we need to be able to deal with the problems. It doesn't necessarily take the pain away, but gives us the ability to move on through the pain in life and do those things that God has called us to do. Doesn't take the challenges away, because those challenges are always going to be there. Those snakes are always going to be there, biting at our heels, causing us pain and distress. But it gives us the ability to take what we have and to use it in a way to glorify what God has given us. And to allow people to know, even if we're not wearing a shirt, what part of the kingdom we are. And how we might interact with the world to allow people to understand this gift we've found through God. And that gift of his Son that has given us life, that has given us forgiveness, that has placed us in a relationship with God that allows us to be able to move on each and every day with life through those struggles and through those problems, to be able to boldly proclaim our place in God's kingdom. Because God so loved the world. Because God so loved us. Because God so loved you, and you, and you, and you, and you. All of you. That He gave His Son for you. So that when the snakes are biting at your heels, when life isn't the way you want life to be, when things seem to be a challenge beyond all comprehension, God's presence is there within your life to give you the things that you need to be sustained, to help you understand your relationship with God, that throughout all things, your life with God will be secure and remain secure. And that when your time here is done, your life with God continues because God has so loved the world that He has given His only begotten Son for you. That when you believe in Him, you will have eternal life.